How much of a military threat is the so-called Islamic State? That general question confounds anti-terror strategists. But specifically, what constitutes a victory against a group that is one part well-financed army, one part publishing empire of extremist recruiting propaganda, and one part messianic dream? That specific question may be an even harder one. The consensus has been, well, retake the Iraqi city of Fallujah that ISIS has held for well over 2 years, but Iraqi and U.S. officials now can't agree if that is happening. An offensive that began last month claimed this week to have won back the central part of Fallujah, but the U.S.-led coalition says only a third of the city has been cleared, and there are still contested areas and clashes between Iraqi forces and ISIS fighters in some of the city's very dense neighborhoods. How important is Fallujah, and who needs it more, ISIS or the Iraqis? Ali Qadiri was a special assistant to five U.S. ambassadors in Baghdad from 2003 to 2009. He's CEO of Dragoman Ventures. Ali Qadiri, how important is Fallujah and who needs it more?
Well, Fallujah is important because it's strategically located. It's about 20, 30 miles west of Baghdad and has historically, since 2003, been used as a launching pad for terrorist attacks into Baghdad by former regime elements and then subsequently Al-Qaeda in Iraq and now ISIS. It is one of the main cities in Anbar province, the Sunni bastion, Sunni heartland, and has thus been one of the centers of resistance against the post-2003 order. So both sides are fighting for it. But really, in order for this to be a sustainable victory, in order for the entire anti-ISIS campaign to be a sustainable campaign, what is needed is reconciliation between the governments in Damascus and Baghdad and their restive Sunni population. And frankly, that's just something I don't see right now. That's completely absent from the current U.S. strategy, which likely means it will be a failed strategy.
We'll get to that in just a moment. On the ground in Anbar province, there are reports that even as Iraqi forces retake the city of Fallujah, the villagers, the people, the citizens in Anbar are hung out to dry, are stranded, and that In a sense, you lose Anbar by gaining Fallujah. Is that your view?
Right, that's exactly right. You're losing Anbar and you're losing by the campaign by storming each of these cities with Iran-backed Shia militias and death squads, by providing U.S. air cover for the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps constantly, as each one of these cities has been fought over, Tikrit, Ramadi, now Fallujah. There has been torrents of evidence emerging of war crimes, crimes against humanity, torture, rape, murder of the indigenous population by these forces that have come in to so-called liberate the city. So again, my fear is that we may be winning each of these battles, but we may be quite likely losing the war.
Ali, why is it the case that the U.S. is happy to be very explicit about the defense of the Yazidi Christians in Iraq, but when you talk about 200,000 Muslims, Sunni Muslims in Iraq that need a similar kind of defense from a Shia axis around them, the U.S. doesn't utter any sort of specific word and just talks about Muslims generally. Is that a hesitation to get involved in so-called sectarian divisions, or is it an anti-Sunni bias on some level?
I'd be very curious if you were to ask that from a senior administration official. I don't know the answer. It's, again, it's a paradox which has troubled me both throughout my time in government and then subsequently, because as you point out, it is sort of hypocrisy that just doesn't make sense. And frankly, more importantly, it's just gravely damaging to American interests, particularly when you consider that 90% of the roughly billion and a half Muslims around the world are Sunni. We as a country, number one, don't want to involve ourselves in holy wars, but we especially don't want to alienate the billion plus Sunni Muslims around the world. And that we are widely seen as, and particularly this administration, is seen to be, generally speaking, pro-Shia, pro-Iran, and that has only helped to increase the tensions in the region and increase some of the paranoias. Some are rational, many others are irrational, but they are nonetheless, perception is nonetheless reality in the region.
But that, of course, is part of the madness, because the conservative hawks in the Congress will insist that we take a hard line against ISIS and pretend as though we are part of some anti-Iranian force, an anti-terrorist force in the region. But on the ground, the perception among Sunnis is that we're on the side of Iran. Is that what you just said?
That's exactly right. And in fact, I'll tell you, it's actually more than a perception. The United States Air Force has, for a couple of years now, since the anti-ISIS campaign began, been providing close air support for the Iraqi military, the Iraqi militias, and Iranian Revolutionary Guards, all of whom work very closely together, and one is infiltrated by the other. So it's not just a perception that we are aiding the Iranians, but in fact, we are.
Ali Kadiri, former special assistant to five U.S. ambassadors in Baghdad from 2003 to 2009. He's CEO of Dragoman Ventures. He spoke with us from Dubai. Thanks so much, Ali.
Thank you.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.